Good morning, everybody. I noticed a little more juice in the worship today, Angela. I don't know if you noticed that, but I sure did. Last Friday night, we've been talking about the Feast of Trumpets, what it means. It's a kickoff of 10 days of awe when all of the Israelites were to focus on repentance and introspection and where they were in their relationship with God. And they were to take 10 days to do that. And then it culminates with, it's called Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, which is next Monday. And so our focus last Friday night was simply to come and seek God. I don't know about you, but I felt a lot different walking out than I did walking in. I was completely blessed. I didn't know what God had for us. I was done with my part as we kind of prayed over God's names and his personalities and just that anything that we go through, God has a name in the scriptures that will take care of whatever it is. It doesn't matter what situation it is. There is a name of God that we can call on and claim for ourselves in those circumstances, and God shows up, which is amazing. And I had an incredible peace the next day. I had walked off at 8:14 because I looked at the clock, and Angela brought the music ministry team up at that time, and I was just sitting in the back, and I just felt God say, "You're not done." So I went back up and said, if anyone has to go, if you've got kids or things that appointments that you have to be at, please feel free to leave. And nobody left. So we spent the next amount of time doing whatever it is that I felt God wanted to do. And then we had another one of those breaks at about 9 o'clock. And God says, "You're not done yet." And I went, okay. So I was committed to stay as long as God wanted me to. We took a little break. Some people had to leave because of little ones or whatever. And we still had 25 to 30 people come back. And I went, wow, you guys are gluttons for punishment. But you know what? It was amazing. God showed up, and it was a great kickoff to the Feast of Trumpets. So I would like to encourage you, and I sent out an email and said, prepare to be uncomfortable. And it was uncomfortable at times. But you know what? The closer you get to God, the more uncomfortable you're going to be. Because I believe that when Moses approached the burning bush and it started to talk to him, he was a little uncomfortable. Every time that an angel of the Lord showed up in the scriptures, people got uncomfortable. When God showed up on Mount Sinai and announced his presence in smoke and clouds and thunder and trumpet blasts, the people backed up. Things got a little uncomfortable. And I think that the church in America is a little too comfortable with who God is right now. And so we are having our fall kickoff. And what I thought I would do today, I haven't done it for a couple years, but we have some new people in here, and I want you to know what we are about here at New Hope Christian Center, why we do the things that we do, what does it look like, what is our mission, what is our process on how we attain these things. So if you've been around for a while, you know these things, but there's going to be a challenge at the end. So just bear with me if you've been around. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here's the part where people usually stop. But I think the next part is just as important as the first part. And it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, Jesus modeled what he wanted carried on to the disciples. And then he told the disciples, do with other people what I have been doing in your life. He walked and talked with those people for 3.5 years to make sure that he instilled everything that he wanted them to pass on. They didn't have the scriptures like we do. They simply had the teachings of Jesus. And then they carried those on and passed those things on. Jesus modeled to his disciples what he wanted passed on to the next generation. When I first took over, almost 10 years ago, yeah, I'm getting really, really old. But I, Belinda and I were praying, and we were devising plans on what we wanted to do and the direction and whatever. And so we said, well, let's take a Sunday off every once in a while, and we'll go visit other churches, and then we'll pick and choose what we like, and then just not do the things that we don't like or agree with. And then I had this epiphany. And it was, why don't you ask God what he wants? Instead of going and copying what other people are doing in other ministries, why don't you ask the head of the church what he wants? And what I did is I went into a 40-day, basically a Nazarite vow, and I sought him every single day, and I journaled the scriptures that he would lay on my heart, and I wrote out all these things. And I'm not a journaler. I am a go guy to sit down and meditate and just be quiet before the Lord. I'm much better at it now, but it was so foreign to me to sit down and take the time to write something out. Write your thoughts out. Write what you believe God is saying. But I did it, and at the end of 40 days, I believe that God laid on my heart the direction that he wanted this church to go. And the mission, because if you look at the mission statements of a lot of churches, it's like 2 pages long. Our mission is to do this and that and this and that through the da 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 da. And Jesus simply said, here's your mission, go and make disciples. That was it. He said, I've already given you all the information you need to do that, to carry it out. Go and make disciples. What are disciples? Disciples are people who become more and more like their mentor every single day. It is impossible to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and not become more and more like him. Because if that is not happening, you are not a disciple. According to the very definition of the word, a disciple is a student and a learner and a follower of a teacher. And he said, go and make disciples of me. So I thought, okay, so how do we do that? What did it look like? Where the rubber met the road, what did it look like? And so you have to go into Acts to find out what were the apostles passing on to the early church. Because Jesus said, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so as I read through Acts, I began to take notes and the rest of the New Testament, and I realized that there was an emphasis on three things: connecting to God, connecting to other believers, and then releasing them to do what God has called them to do. In that order. See, you don't connect to others first. You need to connect with God first. Then you can connect with others first, and then you can be released to do what God has called you to do. So it's simple. Connect, release. Connect to God, connect to others, release for service. That is the process by which we use here at New Hope Christian Center. It's the same process that Jesus used with his apostles. So what did that look like in real life in Acts chapter 2, verses 42? It says that the early church were devoted. What does devoted mean? Devoted means that you are completely immersed in whatever things those are. If you are devoted to your wife, you forsake all of the other women out there and you devote yourself to them. So they were devoted to, one, the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the scriptures that they had, and they were devoted to what the apostles, those people that had lived directly and were eyewitnesses to the ministry of Jesus Christ, They were there during his ministry. They were there for his crucifixion, and they witnessed his resurrection. So they were devoted to the scriptures that they had, which were the Old Testament, and they were devoted to what the apostles were teaching them according to what Jesus had passed on. They were devoted to them. In fact, we see the church in Berea. When Paul shows up with a new message, they tested the scriptures to make sure that it was congruent with what was already written. They tested. They were able to test it. Well, how do you test it? You have to know the scriptures. So you need to become, we need to become disciples through the apostles' teaching and the scriptures. You need to know them. Number two, they were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to one another. They lived their lives together. In fact, it says in some places, they got together daily and they shared meals together. They lived their lives together. Your kids became my kids. It was a family. It's called the family of God for a reason. But they were to be connected and live out life in community so that they would be encouraged and encouraging one another to go through this thing called the way, to live according to the good news. And so they were called to do this in community, in small groups. They met in homes. They didn't meet in big churches with 10,000 people, with one person running it and the rest of them just sitting up and showing up. That is not what the early church looked like. It met in homes, with a couple people leading and a couple people discipling other people so that they could in turn do the very same thing. They were devoted to the fellowship. The third thing, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. This talks about, I believe this is a two-pronged thing. I believe that they continued in communion, where they broke bread together. And Jesus says, every time you do this in remembrance of me. Very important. But it also has the social aspect of breaking bread together in homes, where you invite someone into your home to have a meal. Now, back in these times, it meant a lot more to have someone over to your house for a meal than it does today. But to invite someone into your home meant, I am willing to invite you into my life, into my family's life, and become a part of one another. So they were devoted to the breaking of bread, and they were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to praying for one another. They understood the power of prayer. They understood the laying on of hands if someone needed that. They understood that their prayers were being offered up to God, and God says, you do not receive because you do not ask. Some people have the mentality, I don't want to bother God with that. He's really busy with other people. It's just a menial thing. I'll take care of that. And God's up there going, no. Come to me in prayer. In fact, there are certain times in the scriptures it says we are to go to him constantly, over and over and over again, like the guy banging on the door. I have a visitor. I need bread. And I'm not leaving until I get an answer. So there are different kinds of prayer. There is intercessory prayer. There is prayers of thanksgiving. There are prayers where you're praying for your daily needs. But they were devoted to prayer. Because without prayer, we're lost. That is the communication that we have with our Heavenly Father. So they were devoted to these things. Here at New Hope Christian Center, we use these things to determine who becomes leaders. It's very easy to appoint a person as a leader, but I believe in the mentality that leaders emerge. Leaders will show themselves to be devoted to these things. And you don't appoint them leaders until they show that they are able and doing these things. You see, when I first started, I had all this list of a helper needs to do this and this and this and this, and an assistant needs to do this and this and this, and a leader needs to do and meet these different criteria. And what I found out is that there were some people that wanted to be leaders, and they simply did the criteria to become a leader, but they weren't devoted to these other things. Leaders are going to emerge. And our leaders need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. They need to be devoted to this fellowship. They need to be devoted to the breaking of bread. And they need to be devoted to prayer. Amen? We refer to those things, those four parts or four elements, as the four pillars of the early church. Everything that we do here at New Hope Christian Center has to meet at least one of those pillars. Otherwise, we don't do it. A lot of churches have a lot of different programs and a lot of different things going on. If it doesn't meet one of those four criteria, we don't do it. So, I believe in every single one of those pillars that none is more important than the other, that they all work together in a symbiotic relationship. And so we offer here at New Hope Christian Center opportunities to fulfill these things. We believe here at New Hope Christian Center it is our job to disciple you and to disciple you so that you can turn around and disciple someone else. That is very, very important. So we will equip you. We will give you the opportunities to devote yourself to the apostles' teaching. Because if you don't know the scriptures, how do you teach it to someone else? If you can't handle the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in your own life, how do you teach someone else to do that? So we give you opportunities to devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to devote yourself to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The thing is, we give you those opportunities, but we're not going to drag you kicking and screaming into those life groups. Last Friday night's prayer night, I did not call one person who wasn't here and go, "Hey, where were you, man? Why weren't you there?" I believe that is between you and God. And I'm not going to drag you kicking and screaming. There were times when I made my kids come to church and they really didn't want to come to church. You know what? You're living in my house. It's my rules. It's what we do. It's who we are. But as a pastor, I've learned that you can make as many rules as you want. And if the person is unwilling, you're beating your head up against the wall. I'm tired of beating my head up against the wall. And I began to use Jesus' example, which, duh. He told people, "Follow me." Some of them did, and some of them didn't. And there's not one time in the scriptures where he said, "Follow me," and they didn't follow him. He never, ever went running after them. Ever. Not once. So here at New Hope Christian Center, we give you the opportunity. We are giving you the opportunity to grow. Now the ball is in your court. And some of you are looking at me like, "Holy smokes, what does that mean?" What that means is every time, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone. In what you're comfortable with. Because like I said before, walking in faith and growing in your faith, there are going to be some times that you get a little uncomfortable. What's awesome is that God says, "I'll be with you. I have put my spirit in you to help you and give you everything that you need to do what I've asked you to do. You just need to be willing to follow. You just need to be willing to step out. So to follow Jesus was uncomfortable. Was it not for the apostles sometimes? When Peter says, no, Jesus, no, far be it from you, da-da-da-da, and Jesus turns around, sticks his finger in his face and says, get behind me, Satan. I'm pretty sure Peter was a little uncomfortable at that moment. So as we walk and as we grow, we are going to be called into an uncomfortable place because it's in those places that we grow. If you've ever played football, two-a-days. All I have to do is say two-a-days. They were the worst. Two-a-days meant you practiced twice in one day. They were awful. Awful. But you knew that if you didn't go through the two-a-days, you didn't get a play on game night. So you were willing to put up with the pain and the suffering and the sore legs and all of that so that you could play in the game. And there were guys on the team that never had any intention of getting into the game. They just wanted a jersey to wear on Friday to school. They would walk around in the halls. They had their jersey on. It's like, yep, I'm a football player. Check me out. Never see the field. Don't want to. But I'm pretty comfortable in my jersey. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians walking around wearing the jersey that have no intention of getting in the game. That ain't going to happen here at New Hope. That ain't going to happen. We are going to encourage you and encourage you and encourage you. And the people that just want to be pew sitters usually don't stick around very long here. They come in for a little bit. People start coming up to them and saying, hello, how are you? What is your name? And people are like, whoa. Maybe I'll go to somewhere else where I can just blend in, punch in my time card, and leave. Because I need that get out of hell free card when me and Jesus meet. But I don't want to do this. I'm not a fanatic. No, we're called to be part of a community and a part of a family. So we're going to give you every opportunity. So at this time, I'm going to have all of the leaders, the life group leaders. We have a variety of leaders, a variety of topics. It is up to you to show up. Like Hannah said, I would love you to come and share life with me. We can simply offer up the invitation. It is up to you to get up off your booty and show up. I'm not going to drag you kicking and screaming. I am going to encourage my leaders to invite people, but not harass people. And not make them feel bad if they don't come. Because then you get into a whole new dynamic. I've talked to people that says, well, I went to so-and-so's class and it just wasn't for me. But then I didn't feel like I could go to another class or another group because I didn't want them to feel bad. So then they don't go. Stop listening to the enemy. Stop listening to Satan. We're going to offer up all these different things so that you can find your niche. Find a place where you can plug yourself in and begin to grow. So I'm going to have our leaders come up. Anytime now. Here we go. Now, Hannah has already given hers. So I wanted you to hear from them because you can look on a piece of paper if you're newer and go, I don't know who this is. I don't know who that is. I wanted you to be able to put the face to the group that they're going to be leading. And Angela, do you have a mic? Oh, okay. Perfect. We're going to start with Ange, and she is here representing her mama, Donzie.
Yeah.
And so go ahead, Ange.
Sure. So my mom, Donzie, is going to teach something online that will be recorded, and it's going to be streaming on Facebook at 7 on Tuesday nights. So Tuesday nights at 7 on Facebook. I mean, if you're there live, you can always comment. And also, it will be available on our website after that. So if you are not a Facebook person, you can still access this teaching. And it is going to be called Renew Your Mind. And I have something right here that she wrote out. But our key scripture is, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. To put it simply, our lives have been shaken in the last few months by the challenges that have occurred in the world, our nation, and in our personal lives. Thankfully, the Bible has the answer for us to be equipped and to be able to continue to stand strong and pursue the destiny God has planned for each of us, even in these difficult times. We see from our scripture that the transformation process that God has planned for us is accomplished by the renewing of our mind. We will discover the importance of our thought life and share practical helps in just how to renew our mind. And so this will start actually this Tuesday. Will be the first one.
Good morning. Kim and I are going to be leading a group focused on young adults post-high school age through mid-late 20s. We are going to be doing a book study on Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover. We believe, money is something that's talked about in the Bible. Money is something we all have to deal with, and there's a worldly way to handle it, and there's a godly way to handle it. So that's what our study is going to be about.
Good morning. My name is Jessica, and I will be leading our team kids group this year. Last year we started it. We didn't get to finish it. So we're doing Catching Air, which is the mission statement is teaching kids to soar in God's strength as he helps them to live for him and tell others about his love. And our main goal this year is going to be just really focusing on God's word, scripture, and making prayer a daily part of their lives. And Jim will be helping me, and my sister Samantha will be helping me, and Connie. So, and we are always looking for more helpers if anybody's interested. So, thank you.
Hello, I am Pastor Aaron. I am the youth pastor here at New Hope. And our mission statement is very simple. I did not reinvent the wheel for youth. It is, we want to make disciples of young people. And we do that the same way that New Hope's process is. We connect them to God. We do that on Wednesday nights at camp. Any extracurricular activity we do, we want to try to connect them to God. We connect them to each other, to others, and then we want to release them for service. And it's funny because I did not know Jim was going to speak on this today. And on Wednesday, I basically went over the same thing, like why we do what we do in the youth group. And I issued a challenge out this year as well for the students, because even if they're young, they still have people in their life that they are called to disciple and lead to Christ. So our challenge for this year was, one, to get closer to God, but also to think about the people in your life and in your schools that you come into contact with that God would put on your heart to lead them to him. So that is our challenge. That is what we do. We want to just make disciples of them, because we know that when they get into the real world, when they graduate, go to college, that everything changes. You know, everything changes in their life. And we want them to know the rock on which they stand, which is Jesus, and what their purpose in life is. So that is the youth group. And it's Wednesday nights at 7.
My name is Brian Hansen, and I'll be doing the leading the group this fall on America's Godly Foundation. It is rightly impossible to govern the world without God and the Bible. I think everybody would agree in this sanctuary about that, but most people don't know that George Washington actually said that. I think every person in this sanctuary definitely agrees with the foundations that George Washington and others put out for this country. Today, our classrooms across America have been stripped of all mention of God in our history. It is even falsely taught that our founding fathers were atheists and that they were not strong men of Christ or Christian faith. Nothing could be further from the truth. The class I will be leading will show truths that America was founded on God and the Bible, and that this is the very reason why America became so exceptional and prosperous. This will be a six-week study. We'll be meeting on Wednesday nights in the Pastor Lee conference room. The classes are all presented very well in video presentation by David Barton, who's one of the leading historians in the country on our godly heritage and is in charge of a museum based in Texas, which houses more original founding documents than any other facility in the world. So as we know from the Bible, our facts come from the original source, which is the most valid information. Let's see here. Did you know that the term separation of church and state is never one time found in any founding document? Are you aware that the majority of the founders went to seminary school and that some of them even founded Bible societies across the colonies for people to learn about the Word of God? Did you know that Benjamin Franklin began an abolitionist society to free blacks from slavery in 1774 before we drafted the Declaration of Independence? Did you know that John Adams and others approved by Congress printed and distributed Bibles? And did you know that our very first state house in Philadelphia, where our original capital is located, they used the federal building, which was the House of Representatives, as a church on Sundays? Doesn't sound like separation of church and state. Our history has been hidden from us. This short series will give us, as Christians, the facts which will strengthen our Christian faith and give us answers to those who would dispute these truths because of what they have heard by secular television programs and taught in our secular schools. This is a nation founded by Christians, and God is undeniably woven into the fabric of this nation's very foundations. Those who say we are not a Christian nation do not know their history. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other, written by our second president, John Adams. I would strongly encourage, in this time of great turmoil in our country, that anyone who is interested in our foundations as a country come and join us. It will give you encouragement and confidence that we were truly created as a nation under God. I would also like to invite youth, I was thinking maybe 16 and older. If you're 14 and 15, you're welcome as well, if you're feeling in your hearts that you want to know about these kinds of things. You will not get any of this knowledge from the public schools. And in fact, you'll get contradictory information in both high school and especially as you head into college. I would encourage you to get knowledge, again, as we do get our knowledge from the Bible, get it from the original sources, which will be presented in this class. So again, this will be a video lesson. I encourage those who attend to bring paper and pen. What I'm going to do is we'll watch maybe 35 minutes of video, stop for 10 minutes. We'll share, wow, I never knew that. This is what really hit me. I've never heard this. We'll share for about 10 minutes, watch another 35 minutes, and then do the same thing at the end. So that class will be for 6 weeks until the last week in October. And after this class, I'll follow it up the very next week so we won't miss a beat. We'll be doing the same nights. I will then begin a class on the book of Revelation. And this will be open to all ages. Anyone who's excited about our interest or interested in Christ's return for us, his church, I invite to attend. I'll be teaching out of the book that I published last year. In 2019, you don't have to have the book to attend. This is where I'm going to be teaching out of. I put more than 10 years and over 8,000 hours of study into the topic of Christ's return to produce the book. I've been studying the return of Christ actually for many, many years, and God has especially put this topic into my heart and soul for the past 17 years. So this will be more of a lecture-style class, but we'll do the same, similar to America's Godly Foundation study. We'll do half of it. We'll stop for discussion, do the other half. Have discussion again, wrap it up. So that's about it. If you have any questions about either one of those classes, you can meet me after service here, and I'll answer all your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. It was it's kind of interesting that the last few years I've had a lot of people say, you need to teach on Revelation. And I said, I'm not teaching on Revelation until we first study Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Daniel. Because you can jump straight into Revelation, and if you don't know the Old Testament, you're going to be lost. There's a connection between the two. So we spent years doing that. And I believe here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, actually before we get to that, I wanted to just give a brief synopsis of our D10, our discipleship 10. I don't know about you, but 2020 has been a little crazy, a little bit different. And for the first time ever that I can remember, we were not able to meet as a congregation, as a family on Sunday morning because of what was going on. And it was kind of a wake-up call to myself. And what the scripture that kept coming to my mind is, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. You see, the church in America is very pastoral centered. Everything goes through the shepherd. The shepherd is in charge of everything here, there, this, that, whatever. And I believe that we are moving to a point where church gatherings will not be lawful. I truly believe that in my heart. I believe it's in the scriptures. It's scriptural. And what's going to have to happen is I see it going back to the early church where they met in homes. And a lot of times when they met in homes, it was illegal. Paul actually got letters from the politicians of the time to go after these people, these leaders, and these that were having churches and teaching the way, teaching this Jesus. And so D10 is simply a way to teach leaders, yourselves, how to disciple 10 people, which is basically two families. You see, if the shutdown of the church ever happens again, I want to have leaders in place with homes available where you invite another family in and you continue to do what we're doing here at New Hope Christian Center, just on a smaller basis. So that is why we call it D10. We are called to make disciples. As we follow Christ, we are called to teach others to do the same, but we cannot teach what we do not know. We can't teach what we don't know. The modern church's plan for discipleship is this: get people into the doors of the church by any means possible so that the pastor and the leaders can do what they do. Most Christians believe that their job is done once they get someone to come to church with them. Discipleship looked very different in the early church. They met together in homes. They became family. Each believer was to be taught the ways of Jesus and then expected to do the same with other people. See, the church in America looks a lot different than the established church set up by the apostles. It looks way different. And if you look at the fruit of the early church as opposed to the fruit of church in America right now, it's way different. I believe the fruit in the church in America today is an awful lot like the apples that Inslee sent to Malden. Take that however you wish. D10 is designed exclusively to give you the tools that you need to become a disciple maker. Some people say, I've never been to seminary. I didn't study this. I don't know this. I had a da 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 da. Guess what? We're going to teach you that. Well, I don't know how to defend da 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 da. Guess what? We're going to teach you that. And I've encouraged every leader in our group to find one or two people to disciple, to invite them into this place so that by the time we're done with this, we have plenty of homes with plenty of capable leaders to carry on God's mission of go and make disciples. You see, it may look different than it is right now, but the mission is still the same. The mission never changes, no matter what it looks like. We are all called to make disciples. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies crave spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation. You see, salvation isn't the end. It's the beginning of a whole new life. It's the beginning. People are where they are in their maturity and in their faith. Some people are on different, and I'm going to use an analogy in a little bit. Some people are on different levels. The fact is, we all are where we're at. But we're supposed to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, which means we're moving slowly forward. I want to use an analogy for the young people. How many people have ever played video games in here? Raise your hands. Come on, you can admit it. It's not a sin. Okay. Some of you old people never played video games? Well, old people play video games? There we go. Anybody that's played a video game, raise your hand. Okay. So when I started playing video games, it was when Call of Duty was just coming out. And back then, they used to put something in there called a campaign. I don't know if a lot of them do it much anymore. It's mostly just online stuff, but there are some cool campaigns out there. And a campaign was simply, you went in, you logged on, and you clicked into a storyline. And these campaigns had different levels. And you had to finish one level before you moved on to the next level. You just couldn't go to the end of the game. You had to accomplish certain things and beat that level before you could go to the next one. In the midst of those levels, there were a lot of failures. I got killed all the time, so I'd have to start over. And as I made my way, there was just failure after failure after failure, and I'd get mad. It's like, oh, I'm going to beat this level. I'm going to beat this level. And as you went on, you got better. Hopefully, you got better. But as you went on, you gained knowledge of certain things that were going on around you. You gained skill. You gained different weaponry that you could help you for the next level. But as you went on, you got better, more knowledge and more skill. The goal was to get to the next level. Was it not? The goal was to get to the next level. Nobody ever said, I like this level, I'm going to stay here. If you did, you're a horrible gamer. Nobody in a campaign went, you know, I got past level 3, I'm good. I went through that campaign until I finished it. Unfortunately, we have too many Christians who have been stuck on the same level for years. Not learning, not gaining in skill, not gaining in knowledge, no drive to get to that next level in their faith. They're stuck on one level and it's like, I'm fine. No, you're not. If you're the same Christian now that you were 25 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, there's something wrong. According to Peter, we are supposed to grow in our grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do that on your own. You can, the first pillar, you can devote yourself to the apostles' teaching and the scriptures. But that's just one of four pillars. If you're not growing in your devotion to the fellowship and increasing your relationship with other people, you're stuck on that level. If going to a life group is not important to you, you're stuck on a level. We're supposed to continue to grow. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. That is a challenge that we are setting forth. And I was pleasantly surprised with how many people were in D10 this morning. I think it's awesome. And it's not spring ahead, fall back, so you all screwed up your schedule and you just showed up an hour early on accident. But we are to grow in our grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to become disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, so that we can in turn teach others how to do the very same thing. So my challenge to you is this. Go ahead and stand, please. My challenge to you is this, and this has been what's been all about these the Feast of Trumpets and the 10 days. I have taken these 10 days of awe. Every morning I wake up and I say, Lord, help me to know you better. And if there's anything in me that you want to eradicate, let me know. Now be careful for what you ask. Because I was very tired last night when I went to bed. Belinda and I have been doing a remodel in the house and all this stuff, and we were just both beat. And I just wanted to sleep. I just wanted to sleep. And then I had a dream. Now, I'm not going to get into the dream. And I woke up, and it was 3:08. And usually God wakes me up at 3 o'clock, and I know it's him. It was 3:08. But then in that dream, God was putting his finger on something in my heart that he wanted me to get rid of. And I knew it. And the first thing I did was say, why didn't you tell me this at 9 o'clock last night instead of 3 o'clock? But I've been taking these 10 days of awe and using them for what they were designed to be, growing closer to God. You see, at the end of these 10 days of awe is the Day of Atonement. And then after that, the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you fast forward, these are just types and shadows of things to come. The Feast of Trumpets sounded when God entered onto Mount Sinai. The trumpets sounded when he entered into the tabernacle. They sounded when he entered into his temple. And it was to be a remembrance every single year to remember this, that God has chosen to tabernacle with us, because it all ends with the feast and the festival of tabernacles. So I've been taking these 10 days very seriously. And I had a peace yesterday that I haven't had in a long time. Friday night was so good for me. And now God is working on me every day. And I want to listen. I want to be like David. God, if there's anything inside of me, because sometimes we don't even realize it, that we've wandered away from him. We've walked away from his ways. We've walked away from that love that we've had. And we've become so disenfranchised and so attracted to the world and what the world has to offer, that we've wandered away from him. Maybe not intentionally, but just you just kind of find yourself wandering. One of my daughters was notorious for, shiny thing. And she didn't intentionally go after those things. She just kind of wandered. So we had to keep an eye on her when we were in the mall. She liked clothes. God help me. Clothes are expensive. But she would wander off, and I had to keep a special eye on her. Because she would just kind of, whoo. And there were times I let her do it, but I never let her out of my sight. God's that way. We can wander from him, but it's never beyond the reach of his arm. So my encouragement to you is this. What level are you on right now in your spiritual walk with God? And where does he want to bring you? And how can you increase in the skill and the knowledge that'll help you get to that next place? Because there's nothing, no feeling, no peace greater than knowing you are right in the will of God, right where you stand. There's nothing better. So the challenge is this: what's your next step? What's your next level? Have you been stuck on a level for a really long time and you never really realized it until today? It's time to move on. And you can't go to the next level until you finish that one. So my challenge is this: what's your next level? And if you don't know what it is, then start being obedient to the four pillars. And in the midst of that, you will find what your calling is. You will find your gifting as you operate in those four things. If you choose to neglect those four things, I guarantee you, you're going to stagnate and you're going to become ineffective. This is the words in the Bible. Ineffective and unproductive in your faith. That is a scary place to be. Because not only are you robbing yourself of blessing, you're robbing other people of blessings as well. So New Hope, we're on the move. You've had the training. We did a year and a half of Mathe Tuo, making disciples. We did a year and a half of wall builders coming together. Now it's time to put into practice and where the rubber meets the road, putting those things that we've been taught and moving forward. So what's your next level? Amen?